Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Canes Cast.
The pilot episode, if you will.
Exactly. The Carolina Hurricanes podcast featuring the silky tones of Michael Smith, the web editor. And if it's on the internet, Michael Smith has seen it.
Yeah, well, mostly, I guess.
Most of all of it. I am Mike Maniscalco from Fox Sports Carolinas and, of course, Canes Vision and CarolinaHurricanes.com. Thanks for tuning in today. And, well, let's get this going, Mike, because this is the first time you and I, as you mentioned, the maiden voyage, the debut our podcast.
Right, and there used to be a podcast on CarolinaHurricanes.com that you all might remember. I think there were at least a good one or two of you on Twitter who have requested the return of the podcast. So, you know, to the one or two of you that requested it's back. And it features a new voice in Mike Maniscalco. You might have heard his voice on the radio before.
No, that was eons ago.
So I think it made too much sense for us to get behind a mic and talk about Hurricanes hockey. So that's what we're doing, and an appropriate week to do it, because just about everything that you could possibly imagine is happening this week.
In the words of the immortal Bob Cole from CBC, everything is happening this week, Michael.
It really is. It's the league cramming everything they can into a few short days, which makes it an exciting time for us who work in hockey, and of course an exciting time for you guys who consume, you know, everything that we produce on a daily basis.
Oh, I would certainly say so. By the way, doing a Hurricanes podcast again, that feels normal too. It's like I've been here before.
Yeah, it's
deja vu all over
again. It's natural. Yeah, and we're in the studio of one Chuck Caton. You may have heard of him.
You might have known.
That's him, actually.
His voice. Oh, that might be coming in a little bit later. But with that being said, Michael, let's try to cram in everything that's happening this week. As you are tuning in, well, you've already seen the brand new Carolina Hurricanes jerseys if you stayed up till 10 o'clock at night Eastern Standard Time. But I like them. I like the changes. And I will admit, I've always been a bit of an Adidas freak. I know, as people will point out to me, that Reebok and Adidas are the same company now, but it's still different brands and how it is. I like the jerseys. I like the textures. And I like the changes to the home jerseys. They feel more like the Carolina Hurricanes jerseys than the last incarnation was very good, but I love bringing back the hurricane warning flags on the bottom of the jersey. That was always a nice touch for this team.
Yeah, so the real look that you guys got last night was at the home uniforms, which for the Hurricanes are the one that's I guess more drastically different.
Yeah.
Obviously the return of the warning flags along the waistline with the little sort of red on red, tone on tone look that's more muted than the past, but a good nod to the past.
Yep.
For the team's 20th anniversary. Obviously the reintroduction of black along the sleeves, the waistline, and then the socks. Adidas has tweaked a few things around the collar. You're going to get more on these, more looks in the coming days.
Yep.
If you're coming to the draft party.
I will be.
Yes.
You'll be at the draft.
And Mike Maniscalco will be here at PNC Arena at the draft party, which is Friday night. And that'll be fans' really first opportunity to get a real good glimpse at both the home and away Adidas uniform. So an exciting time as the league shifts from Reebok to Adidas, and a new sort of era of Hurricanes uniforms are here.
And as you mentioned, the reintroduction of black back into the home uniform, or a third color, or however people view black and white as colors or shades or whatever it is. I'm not going to get into that argument in our first podcast, but that's enough for fashion talk.
Maybe.
I think people are going to be excited for the jersey.
Yeah, color talk will be in episode two.
Absolutely.
The focus of episode two. Strictly colors.
But moving on, well, what else is happening? The expansion draft, and we saw the protected list that was put out by all 30 teams, that now the Vegas Golden Knights, yes. You can only have three names in the NHL.
Correct.
So as the Vegas Golden Knights get to fill out their roster, this has been interesting because it's what everybody was speculating since we knew the expansion draft was coming. But when we look at the Carolina Hurricanes expansion draft and who was left out there or who was unprotected, I don't think there was any names that really shocked anybody on the unprotected list. Was there anybody out there for you, Michael?
No, I don't think there were any surprises for the Hurricanes or really for a lot of the other teams in the league. I mean, you think about what the Vegas Golden Knights have been doing the last few months, the last, you know,
making deals with everybody behind closed doors.
Exactly. But they've also been trying to project, you know, who they might have to select from when the expansion draft time rolls around. So really what they saw over the weekend was just sort of a culmination of all their projections and mock draft scenarios that they ran. So I'm fairly certain they had a good idea of who they were going to see and then who from each team they might pick. And so that's why you just didn't see a whole lot of surprises around the league. I think the Hurricanes protected list didn't really surprise anybody. And now it's a matter of Vegas making those selections. And then those will be announced tonight during the NHL Awards.
Yeah, and by the way, we are not in the business of saying who they're going to take or what they're going to do. I do know this. If you're Vegas, I think that they will be able to put a competitive team on the ice, though. From the names that I saw from the NHL, this isn't going to be a team, a normal expansion team, that's going to just be a pushover in the league. They'll be, they might even be better than some teams that are established in the league right now, trying to figure their way back.
I mean, they're going to be okay. They're going to have a shot.
They're in the Western Conference in a tough division, so that'll make it tough. But
Pacific's sort of tough, and it's always tough when you're assembling a new team and chemistry. Guys who haven't played together, in maybe a few years, maybe even at all.
Yeah.
But I think, George McPhee and his staff, they're not afraid to maybe even make some deals to acquire some draft picks to start building through the draft. That's a familiar story because that's exactly what Ron Francis and his staff have done over the last few years is really start to rebuild the organization through the draft. And that's what George McPhee and his staff are going to really have an eye on.
Well, what I love that George McPhee basically flat out said to every GM who had to put out this protected list, you can negotiate your way out of this if you want. So don't be surprised to see some head-scratching moves that the Golden Knights make as far as the NHL rosters are concerned. And then when we get to the draft on Friday night, the real draft, the entry draft, the Vegas Golden Knights all of a sudden have 12 picks because they make deals with players and teams that they can protect a list. So guys who had to be exposed really weren't exposed, wink, wink, as they would say. So it was interesting. And one more time, Michael, because you haven't explained it 50 million times, nor have I this year. For the folks out there, we're patient, if we're anything.
Yes.
But the reason why you didn't see names like Sebastian Aho and Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce on the protected list was because they didn't need to be protected. They were on their entry-level contract. If you were a first, second-year pro on your entry-level deal, please read the second tweet that Michael Smith always puts out because it explains everything.
Yeah, the expansion draft came at a perfect time for the Carolina Hurricanes because had it been a year later or, shall we jump a few years in the future and maybe see a Seattle expansion draft, the Hurricanes are going to run into potentially some more question marks and roster tweaks they may have to make. But this year they got lucky because they had guys like Sebastian Aho, Noah Hanifin, Brett Pesce, Jacob Slavin, who they didn't have to worry about protecting or exposing because they were just exempt. They fell into that exempt category and weren't even a question mark as to when you start looking at names and figuring out who might get exposed and who you might have to protect. And those are really the questions that Ron Francis and his staff went through is, okay, we have these requirements of exposure. We have these requirements, of protection, whether we protect 7-3-1, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goaltender, or 8 skaters and a goaltender. Most teams went the 7-3-1 route, the Hurricanes being one of them, just because they didn't have to. Most teams that went the 8-1 route had a glut of defensemen they had to protect, like the Hurricanes would had it been a year or two in the future. But
if this is next year, Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce
and
Noah Hanifin and Justin Falk all have to be on that list. You're not going 7-3-1. You're going 8 skaters and 1.
Yeah. So that's why when you look at, okay, there's not X, Y, and Z on this list, but there is, A, B, and C. It's a question of, do they meet the requirements? And then Francis and his staff determining, who is right to protect and who is right to expose. So take, for instance, a guy like Ryan Murphy. Okay, he ends up being protected. He did not meet the exposure requirements in order to qualify.
70 games over the past 2 years at the NHL level.
In order to qualify as one of the Hurricanes' defensemen exposed. Because in addition to, only being able to protect so many players, you also had a certain criteria to hit when you were exposing players. Yep. So they could have exposed Ryan Murphy. but it wouldn't really have made sense because you don't need to when you have another guy in Klaas Dahlbeck who meets those exposure requirements. So that's why you saw a guy like Ryan Murphy get protected, just because it wouldn't have made sense with the list of defensemen the team had to expose him and potentially lose him for nothing.
Or, and at the same time, if you exposed players who didn't meet the requirements, and I could be wrong on this one, Mike, but it's a podcast, there could be penalties if you were putting together a list that wasn't meeting or fulfilling the requirements of the NHL. Like if you said, well, we know Ryan Murphy didn't meet the requirements, but we're going to put him out there anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
like if you didn't have Dahlbeck signed to a contract and you didn't want to throw Falk out there, and that would be significant penalties that the Hurricanes would face, and they definitely don't want to have to deal with that. So that's why you see the list shake out the way it shook out.
And again, it's going to be something to see where this team moves forward, and that's what I'm going to be excited about too. Because so Ron Francis walks into Chicago with 10 draft picks in his pocket. As of Wednesday, if you are listening to this, we're hoping to have this up this morning. But when it gets up, as of Wednesday when you're hearing this, this is pre-expansion draft. That's why we're not telling, hey, I can't believe the Knights took this guy. But whenever you're tuning into this, this is pre-draft. Right now, 10 picks Ron Francis has in his pocket. We've talked about this before. We talked about it with Shane Willis. He doesn't want to make all 10 picks in Chicago. I get the feeling we're starting to see a couple of things shake out now. We saw a few things. I thought there might be a little bit more opportunity, Michael, before the expansion draft to, hey, you can't protect this guy, but we can. I thought we were going to see that all league-wide. We only saw a handful of teams do anything like that. But I really do expect the Canes to be some kind of movers with those draft picks on Friday and Saturday in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think the roster freeze lifts on Thursday, if I'm correct. And all the while, George McPhee and his staff have been able to make deals with other teams. They just haven't been announced. All the deals that they're making currently are going to be announced tonight, along with the Las Vegas or the Vegas Golden Knights team. So any potential deals that the Hurricanes are making behind closed doors, we'll find out tonight. And then Ron Francis and his staff are really open for business heading into Chicago. If I were a betting man, I would say the Hurricanes don't make all 10 picks, but I mean, you never know once you hit the draft floor. If the trades aren't there, if the moves aren't there, Francis isn't going to make a move that endangers the long-term health of the franchise. But I think he's more than willing to listen to what other teams have to offer, and I think it's going to make for a pretty interesting weekend.
I almost want to go stepbrothers job interview questions for you. You got these three options. What happens?
Pam or
Pan? I believe
Pan?
I believe I can help with the whole Pan
is that
thing
a
for
N
you
and
here.
A D?
Pamna with Pam. An M and an N. But the question, if I pose to you, the more likely of these events to happen, most likely.
Yes.
Thank you. My grammar is not that solid either in print or in the spoken word. The Hurricanes make the 12th overall pick, which is their first round selection. The Hurricanes move up to grab a player in a spot higher than 12, meaning picks 1 through 11, or the Hurricanes trade out of pick number 12, most likely scenario in your mind?
I'm going to say trade out of 12. Not trade up, just trade out of 12, whether that means fall back or just
or
don't make
a
first round pick or just acquire a player. That's what I'm sort of leaning to at this point, but of course I don't make decisions, and I don't know anything, so it could be anybody's guess.
That, by the way, should be the tagline for this podcast in the future.
We don't make decisions,
and we don't know anything. So if people are looking for the inside scoop, we might have a little scoop.
Right.
Not all of the scoop.
Vanilla and chocolate.
And sometimes strawberry.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
Maybe mint.
Ooh. No.
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 Okay.
We'll get something. We'll get a better flavor than that for people. Now we're talking.
Cookies and cream.
But I'm going to go with I think they make the pick.
Okay.
Because I do think, and it's just been pouring over this draft, Mike. I'm not going to fly the banner and say this is a great draft, because the NHL draft, if we were to lay out all of the picks, all of the drafts, the NHL, NBA, NFL, because the NBA draft is coming up in Major League Baseball, the two biggest crapshoot drafts for me are baseball and hockey. Hockey, you get a couple of sure things at the top of the draft, but I've seen too many times in my life a guy picked in the second round, see Justin Falk, better than
Sebastian
guys.
Sebastian Aho.
See, better than anyone who was picked or most everybody picked in the round in front of him. So I think that this is a draft. There are so many players, so many names I've looked at, that there's a name that the Hurricanes want in the first round.
Yeah.
And the question is just going to be, by the time 12 gets there, which name is it who they want? That's my gut feeling. I think they're going to stay at 12. But if not, if I ranked them A, B, and C, I think for me they stay. Then the most likely scenario is what you said. They move out of that pick.
Yeah.
Either no first-round pick at all and they acquire something or acquire more picks in the future, or it was protected, whatever it is, instead of moving up to go and get
and
a guy.
Because I think if you're moving up in this draft, you're moving up to either grab the number one or the number two pick, which is going to be a little more attainable this year compared to, you know, the last couple of years when you're talking about Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews. Those teams aren't trading those picks. But but maybe this year, you know, a team sitting up at the top, the Devils, I think.
Devils and Flyers, one and two.
Flyers. Maybe they're more willing to talk. And, of course, Dallas in open talks to trade out of 3-2. So
Jim Neal asked me if I wanted the third overall pick. I said there's nothing I could do with it.
Well, there you go. You don't make decisions.
And I don't know anything.
So we've come full circle.
Clearly, because I was one of the group calling one of those highly touted players at the top of the draft. I got Nolan Patrick's name right, but I thought for all year long it was Nico Hischier, and here I hear it's Hiche. So, I'm going to say his name from the old country, just so people
I guess
know.
We'll find out how it's pronounced.
At the draft.
Yeah, in Chicago.
That's usually how that works, Mike. I found that to be true. Is there anything else about the draft this year that's intriguing to you other than the Hurricanes have all these picks and all these pieces on the board that they can move around? This is, for me, this is where Ron Francis will take another North Carolina pro sports icon. He can be Riverboat Ron. He's got enough chips to move him around.
Yeah. Well, and I think most intriguing, too, even more intriguing than the 12th overall pick, I think, is the fact that the team holds three picks in the second round. And we've touched on the team's second round success as of late with guys like Justin Falk, Sebastian Aho, Phil DiGiuseppe. I think even Brock McGinn was a second round pick back in 2012.
Brett Pesce second?
He was third round.
So.
Yeah. But those are rounds where the Hurricanes have had successes as of late, even the third round, and there are two picks in the third round that the team has this year. So there are more chances, and when you get into these later rounds, it is just about throwing a dart at the board and seeing, you know, how close to the bullseye you can get. And the Hurricanes have been pretty accurate in the last 5 years or so in those late rounds. So I think, you know, with five shots over the course of two rounds in the second and third rounds to potentially land a player, it's very promising, and it's going to make for an exciting second day of the draft in Chicago, because the Hurricanes are either going to be very busy or they're going to be making moves to acquire players. And either way you look at it, I think is exciting for the organization.
Well, speaking of excitement for the organization, Ron Francis didn't waste too much time this offseason addressing a goalie situation, where he goes out and trades for the Chicago Blackhawks backup Scott Darling. If you just woke up, I'll put it in these terms for you.
If you just woke up, there's a lot of questions you probably have.
Exactly. What is this internet you're talking of? Or maybe you're just waking up today and tuning into the Canes Cast, the first edition of the podcast here for the Carolina Hurricanes with Michael Smith. I'm Mike Maniscalco. And Scott Darling is now the guy, the goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes. Traded for, comes in, writes an incredible article in the Players Tribune.
It was so good.
If you have not read it, please find it. Just go ahead and go to Players Tribune or Google Scott Darling Players Tribune. It will come up. But
written so well that maybe I should just ask him to write everything for me this year.
I think that would be a wise move.
He probably has time, right?
Now you're proving that you know something.
Yeah.
So, but it's a well-done article. It explains why it took him on the route that it did to get to the National Hockey League. But here's a guy who played brilliantly in the Chicago Blackhawks crease for a few seasons. A lot of people said that he was ready to be a number one goalie. He's a big guy. He's ready to take over the reins. So that's one of the moves that we looked at this year. So we look at the Canes netminding situation. I think it's going to be interesting, because is Scott Darling ready to be a workhorse, and who are the guys behind him? But I like the move, and the more you find out about Scott Darling, I like the man who they brought in.
Yeah.
I think that he is going to be a great fit that Hurricanes fans are going to love.
Yeah, and for the first time in, what, 10 years or so, the Hurricanes goaltending situation is going to look vastly different. And that's a change. That's a change for fans to that they're going to see immediately in the crease. And now it's a question of, you know, you mentioned it. You've got Scott Darling, you know, penciled in as the starter. Now who is the backup goaltender? Is it Cam Ward? Is it Eddie Lack? Both guys exposed in the expansion draft. I'm not George McPhee, and as we've said before, we don't have any inside scoop. We don't know anything. I don't think he's going to take either Cam Ward or Eddie Lack, but, you know, stranger things have happened, and maybe it's not a bad idea for him to stockpile goalies and sort of hold other teams who are looking for goalies ransom. I don't know. One strategy amongst many. But should the Hurricanes still have Eddie Lack and Cam Ward on their roster come, tomorrow, Ron Francis is going to have some decisions to make, because you're probably not going to carry three NHL goaltenders on your roster. It's not financially viable. It's not just in terms of practicality. They're two nets in practice, so it doesn't make much sense to carry three guys. So then he's going to have some decisions to make on how he proceeds. Is it a trade? Is it a buyout? Is it, something else that, you know, we're not thinking of down here? So, some interesting things to come. But Scott Darling, you know, what a story. I think he's ready to take that next step in his career. He certainly seems confident, and his numbers, you know, back it up for sure. Exciting times ahead for the Canes goaltending situation. And like I said, for the first time in 10 years, you're really going to see a different look in net. And that's something I think to get excited about.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that just watching this team and making the progression, and for me now, this is the 11th season that in some way, shape, or form I've covered them or been a part of watching this team move that next step forward. Now it's going from taking those little steps to let's see what the big step is here. And like you said, lots of changes, lots of things are going to be different, and it's still a ton of offseason to get into, especially once we get after the draft, which if people want to come and enjoy the draft, if you can't go to Chicago with Michael Smith, he'd love to take you, but I don't know if there's enough room.
Yeah, there might not be.
Chicago's a big city, but I don't know.
My bag's not that big. It's small. So.
I know. We've traveled together, so I can vouch for that. But you can come here to the PNC Arena on Friday night.
And it's a great time. I mean, I obviously wasn't here last year, but looking at the pictures, the videos, hearing fan accounts of the draft party that relocated to PNC Arena last year, apparently was a huge hit, and it's going to be a huge hit again this year, hopefully, with Mike Maniscalco, John Forslund leading things. I think Shane Willis, he's been drafted twice. He knows a bit about it. He'll be there. There'll be food, drinks. There's a special draft day menu online. Check it out. Sort of pre-scout ahead. A Hurricanes homegrown favorite is coming back.
That's right.
It'll chicken and waffles.
6:30. The doors will be open at 6. 6:30. The fun and festivities will begin. And then draft coverage starts at 7, where John Forslund and Shane Willis will pick every player correctly.
Yes.
And if they make an incorrect pick,
then they're gone.
Well, they'll just be heckled mercilessly. No, they'll be fine. So John will be there, and we'll be excited to be all parts of this. And as Mike mentioned, a special draft day menu. I'm looking at it right now, my man. This is pretty good.
It seems very good.
I'm pretty excited about this.
And fans' first chance, as I mentioned earlier, to get a glimpse of the new home and away Adidas jerseys. They will be on display at the draft party for everyone to take in person, because what you see online is only so much. It's a different experience getting to actually see them in person, and your first chance to do so will be Friday exclusively at the Hurricanes draft party. But even before then, we talked about it. There's so much going on this week. We skipped right over Thursday, which is schedule release day. It is
official.
Schedule release day, 3 p.m. on NHL Network, and of course CarolinaHurricanes.com. Everywhere you'll see the 82 game regular season schedule come out, and should be an exciting time to sort of start penciling in dates on your calendar. When are the Vegas Golden Knights coming to town? When are the Hurricanes going to Vegas?
Will you plan a road trip? A little bit more concerned about when are
going to Vegas.
When is Carolina heading to Vegas?
Well, that's a question that will be answered on Thursday among many more. I know we go back to the end of season press conference with Ron Francis and Bill Peters, and Francis was saying that he was hoping this season, because there isn't the World Cup of Hockey, so the start of the season isn't going to get backed
up. Olympics.
No Olympics. So the hope is that the Hurricanes will get at least a home game, if not a couple, in before the state fair comes to town, because last year, as you recall, the team had to start the season on the road because at the start of the season coincided with the start of the state fair. Of course, then you don't get back to Raleigh until late in October. I think this year, just because of, you know, no World Cup of Hockey, no Olympics, is going to set up a little better. The bye week is back this year. I think it's going to be a little different. We'll have to wait until we see everybody's schedules, but I think they're going to pod teams this year.
Which makes sense.
Right. So you don't have random five-day breaks, you know, throughout every team's schedule. It's going to be a selection of teams get this week and a selection of teams get this week, and then they'll play each other coming off of those dates so that you don't run into a situation where, you know, a team coming off a five-day break ends up playing a team that's been in action for the last month. So I think that's going to be competitively give a little more balance to the schedule.
Especially when you look at the numbers, and I didn't write them down coming into this, Michael, but there was a stretch where the teams coming off of a bye were like 3-15-4, something ridiculous. And part of the three were teams actually where I thought they figured it out, were two teams that came off of the bye and played each
right.
other.
So somebody had to win.
So somebody was going to get some point somewhere on all that. So,
and then All-Star Game, it was announced, since no Olympics, All-Star Game will be in Tampa Bay this year. So that'll be nice if any fans want to make the couple-hour flight down to Tampa Bay to take in the All-Star festivities. The setup down there is beautiful. Amalie Arena there, right on the water. It should be a good time. I don't know if a date has been specifically announced for that.
We'll wait for the schedule release, and I'll let you know.
Typically late January for that. So, you know, some highlights to look forward to on the Hurricane schedule, which will be released along with the other now 30-team schedule on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Also, changes to the schedule, though, Mike, because of the odd team that's now in the league, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes.
That does change up divisional play a little bit now, doesn't it?
I think so, and I'm not smart enough, and I didn't look it up, to know exactly what the schedule matrix looks like. Now, it was always a bit of a mess because of the imbalance in the conferences, and they're still not completely balanced. It's a little closer now with the 15th
West
team.
The West is still down one.
Right. But it does shake up the schedule matrix. You're still going to see every team come to Raleigh once a year, and the Hurricanes are still going to go to all 30 other cities once a year. But you might lose the odd home divisional game or something.
Yep.
I'm sure is a little different. But, we'll see on Thursday when the schedule comes out.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's what it all boils down to is what people are looking for. The regular season going to begin in early October. It's going to end in April. And the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs will begin a few days afterwards. So,
and then we'll go through that and do this all over again in June next year.
Exactly. That's what we want. That's what we know. That's what we wanted to know. And that's what we have. By the way, bunch of outdoor games again. And I do have the date for the All-Star game for you, my friend. In Tampa Bay on January 28th.
There you go.
So it'll be 2018. The format will not change. It will follow the format used in the two previous All-Star games.
Which I think has been pretty exciting. And, of course, Justin Falk and the Metropolitan Division reigning All-Star champions. So they'll have to defend their title in Tampa Bay against the other four divisions now in the NHL.
Well, cannot wait for that. Michael, anything else on your mind here as we are coming down the stretch of the maiden voyage of the Canes cast here on CarolinaHurricanes.com.
And what you so cleverly titled the Expansion Menace, which hopefully is not as bad as the Phantom Menace was.
No.
I mean,
it can't be. Nothing is as bad as that.
It's honestly grown on me a little bit. But it's still bad. It's not as bad as Attack of the Clones. And Revenge of the Sith is the best of the three. But they're still not great.
Yeah, but once again, if we're going to go down the whole movie trilogy thing, just indulge me for this for a little bit. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 never happened, okay? Let's just pick it up with episode 4, which for my entire life was Star Wars. And I am a Star Wars geek, so I can do this. But for the ultra geek, stop going, "It's A New Hope." Just, it's Star Wars. It's what it was forever. Then we got Empire. Then we got Jedi. And now we have a whole new set to look forward to, which is promising, which all they're doing is just rebooting episodes 4, 5, and 6, we know.
Right. And 7 was great, and I can't wait for 8. And then Han Solo movie, and then 9. And
I know.
It's just, it's terrific. It's wonderful.
All right, if we're going to go down the movie trail,
yeah.
Summer movies, anything that you've seen that's been great, worth seeing, that people should go to?
I've not seen anything in theaters this summer. I am looking forward to Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, which is a World War II film, I believe. Everything he makes, I watched Interstellar over the weekend, and it's just a wonderful movie. And so I'm looking forward to his World War II take in Dunkirk. And, of course, looking forward to December is Episode 8, The Last Jedi, directed and written by Rian Johnson, who is...
He's my good friend. I know him from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, nice. Has he shared any of the movie with you?
No, I believe it's a different Rian Johnson. It's a rather common name. Figured I'd work in a friend's name there. I haven't seen anything recently. I did see Logan in the theater, and it was very good, and it's a good way to cap off the Hugh Jackman era. You're going to Chicago, one of my favorite food cities in North America, for the draft. Is there any place that you recommend when you go to Chi-Town? It's the Michael Smith, because for people who don't know, and you will find this out when you listen to this podcast, Michael and I enjoy food, and we will be sharing places that you should go eat on the road for sure. That'll be the extra bonus if you make it to the end of the podcast.
If you made it 31 minutes in, you have made it to this answer, which is kind of disappointing because the team has been to Chicago. When I've traveled with the team, we've been 3 times. Twice we were on the second half of a back-to-back, so there was basically no time to do anything. The first time we did get to enjoy a Bulls game at United Center, which I highly recommend, even though, you know, it's far beyond the Bulls of the past, but it's a terrific atmosphere at the rink, whether you're at the rink. I called it a rink.
No, that's fine. We're in hockey mode. It's,
or
you
at
go
the
to the
gym.
Rink, go to the barn.
If you're going basketball, you're going to the gym. But it's a fantastic building. Should be great for the draft. I do have one place that I went to lunch. It's called Velvet Taco. They had tacos. If you're a fan of tacos, go to Velvet Taco. It's very tasty. I'll probably be there Friday for lunch.
All right. If you are a foodie and you're not afraid of, like, somebody saying, "Hey, that's a crispy pig ear in your food," the Purple Pig in downtown Chicago.
Oh,
it's outstanding.
And there's probably deep dish pizza somewhere that I should try at least.
The best one I know will be nowhere near the arena. It'll be on the north side. Draft's on the south side of Chicago.
Right.
I have family in Chicago, so I can also refer to you to those people if you need them, only in an emergency, Smitty.
Or possibly home cooking?
That too.
Maybe.
They'd be more than happy to do that for you.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be in Chicago and you got the time, Pequot's for a deep dish pizza. You will thank me later, Smitty.
There you go.
So that's it. So we got you covered there. Few other spots, too, are really, really good to go. It's a great food town no matter where you go. It'll be fine. You'll enjoy that. That'll do it for the first edition of the Canes Cast. Yes, this was called the Expansion Menace.
The pilot episode of Canes Cast. Join the conversation on Twitter. We've made it very easy. Hashtag Canes Cast.
That's right.
If you have questions, things you'd like us to discuss, no criticisms, please.
How can you criticize
only
this
praise.
Masterpiece right now?
Only praise. Hashtag CanesCast is
Proud Noise Only
is where the discussion will happen on Twitter.
And that's not stealing away from Michael Smith's outstanding tweet mail, which will still be out there every single Wednesday.
In written form on the website. Maybe not today, though. This week's a little busy.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
You want me to take over the mailbag for you?
Maybe.
I'll do it.
It'll be a mystery.
I don't care.
Go to the website. There will be something.
You
got
to let me know soon because it's supposed to be up today.
Yeah.
That's when it gets done.
I should probably get started on it.
Maybe. It'll be like a ghost. It'll be like a ghost answer.
I'll ask Scott Darling.
Oh, he'll do it.
Yeah, sure.
And then you'll lose a job.
Yeah, then I'll be out of a job because I surely cannot be an NHL goaltender.
Well, no offense. He's got you beaten in the beard and right now maybe in the written word.
Yeah, probably. I'd give the vote to him.
Thank you. All right. For Michael Smith, to Chuck Caton Studio, for John Brockwell, who's the engineer who lets us in here so we're allowed to do all this fine stuff. We hope you liked episode 1 of the Canes Cast. Remember, join the conversation next week. You've got questions for us. We'll try to give you the answers. We'll do a little rapid fire section with
sure.
some of the questions that come in. Use the hashtag CanesCast on Twitter. We thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you, in the words of Michael Smith, at the rink.
Goodbye.